We're continuing our series on Paul's letter to the church in Colossae today. There are many different directions that we can look to throughout our lives. And many people look back with regret at bad decisions and choices that they have made and are often haunted by those things. Sometimes it is hard to move on when we're full of remorse because of our past. Some people look forward, focusing on their goals and their plans and what lies ahead of them. Some look around at other people, hoping that in doing so, they'll feel better about themselves, because we always have a knack of comparing ourselves with people we consider to be inferior to us. Others look down on others and see what everybody else is doing. But God gives us a better direction in Colossians chapter 3 today. He says, look up. He says, set your hearts and your minds on things above. And as we've seen throughout this journey through Colossians over the past number of weeks, it all revolves around our identification with Christ and our being united to him by faith. We've just read four verses from Colossians this morning, but Paul mentions Jesus four times in those verses. Christ is central. And Paul begins by saying, since you have been raised with Christ, and he continues to go on by teaching us how different our lives are as a result of being united to him and raised with him. The idea is that we've not only been raised with Jesus from death to new life, but we are raised with him to the heavenly places. In other words, being raised with Christ includes both his resurrection and his ascension. But what does that really mean? The Bible scholar William Hendrickson said, believers should be consistent. They should live in conformity with the fact that they were raised with Christ, who is their life. We are meant for so much more than this world can offer us. The Bible teaches us to rise above the things of the world and to focus on eternal things. You have been raised with Christ, and that now changes absolutely everything. And Paul begins by giving two commands to those who have been raised with Christ. He says, set your hearts on things above, and set your minds on things above. Verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The word translated, set your hearts here, is a word which means to seek something. And Jesus uses the same word in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, seek first the kingdom of God. So when Paul tells us to set our hearts on things above, he is talking about the things that we seek. He is saying that as Christians, we now have a whole new outlook on life. We are no longer to seek with the things down here on earth, but to set our hearts on things above. The things above means quite literally heavenly things, eternal things, the things of God rather than the things of man. The things above are those things which will last forever, in contrast with the temporal things of this world. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Why should we do that? Why should we seek the things above? Paul gives us the answer. It's because that's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of the Father. Christians should be constantly hungering and thirsting after him. We should want to be with him because he is above. He is seated at the right hand of God, a place of the highest honor and the highest authority. Jesus sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenly places means that Jesus is reigning over all things. He said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So to set our hearts above where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God is really just another way of saying Jesus is Lord. And Paul expands on this idea of Jesus being seated at the place of honor and authority by saying something simply incredible in Ephesians 2 verse 6. Just listen to this. He says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Just try to let that sink in for a moment. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, you have been raised with Christ and you are seated with him in the heavenly realms. That means you have the high ground over the enemy. That's what we looked at last Sunday. You've been freed from the power of Satan and the power of sin. You have authority in Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God. You've been given a new life in Christ with a new direction and a new goal. One commentator said that in a very real sense, we are now walking on the other side of the grave, and are walking with Christ. When you died with Christ, you cut off your connection to this old world. Now that you're raised with Christ, you're connected with him in heaven in a whole new way. William Barclay wrote, "From now on, the Christian will view everything against the background of eternity and no longer live as if this world was all that mattered." And I think those are such wise words. How easily do we become wrapped up in the here and now? We're familiar with that old saying, it's not the end of the world. But how often are we so overcome with despair and hopelessness when things do go wrong? Now, I'm not saying that those things don't matter. And I'm not trying to trivialize the struggles which we all face in life. But when it does feel like the end of the world, we would do well to just step back for a moment and try to see these things in the light of eternity. Remember that we live in a broken world. That is why we need to set our hearts on things above. Secondly, Paul tells us to set our minds on things above. Now, there's a lot of similarities here. There are a lot of similarities. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The word here, set your mind, is a word which means to think about something. And it's phrased in such a way so as to think about constantly. And so in setting your heart on things above means living for a new direction or a new goal. Setting your mind on things above means having a new focus. J.B. Lightfoot, an English theologian who died about 100 years ago, he said, "You must not only seek heaven, you must think heaven." We may be living here on earth, but our mind is constantly on heavenly things. We've been raised with Christ. We have this new focus. We should be constantly thinking about God and the things of God rather than the things of earth. In Philippians 3, 19 to 20, Paul compares non-believers to Christians when he writes, "Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven." Now, we've all heard that saying that some people are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. But that's not really true, because it misses the point of what Scripture is teaching us. The greater danger is being so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. Setting our minds on things above will not pull us away from helping others. In fact, if we understand what Paul is teaching correctly, it will do the exact opposite. We must be heavenly minded if we want to be of any earthly good. We're not to ignore this world and just focus on heaven instead, but rather we are to see the world through heaven's lens, so to speak, from an eternal perspective. That will actually increase our urge to serve and to help the people of the world. In Ephesians 2, Paul talks about how even though we were once dead in our transgressions and sins and objects of God's wrath, God, because of his great love for us, has now made us alive in Christ. And in verse 10, he gives us one of the results of this miracle of salvation. He says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." When we set our minds on things above, it will recalibrate and revolutionize our thinking. Our hearts and our minds are now changed, and this helps us to see the needs around us. The churches and our own personal ministries are now driven by this reality that as we serve others, we are pointing them to the glory of God and that the hope that they too have in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul writes in Philippians 4:8. whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We will begin to see people differently. In 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 15, Paul says, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. When our focus is on heaven, we learn to see each person as an eternal being, understanding that they will spend eternity in either heaven or hell. That's one of the reasons why Paul says we shouldn't let the world influence our thinking, but rather our hearts and our minds must be transformed by Christ and by his word. Since you've been raised with Christ, you have a new direction. You have a new focus. So set your hearts and your minds on things above. And then he goes on to give us three reasons why we should be doing these things. And those reasons are based on our past, our present, and our future. Firstly, in verse 3, he says, you died. That's the past. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. The first reason is our past. We died with Christ. Jesus not only died for you, but you died with him. If you're a Christian, that is something that has already happened to you. It's a completed action in the past. When you put your faith in Christ, you died. Your salvation is an historic event. As Christ died on the cross, by putting your faith in him, you died with him. That's the first reason that we should set our hearts and our minds on things above. We died. Secondly, Paul gives us a reason from our present. In verse 3 again, he says, your life is now hidden in Christ with God. The fact that our lives are hidden with Christ means that we are safe and secure. Our lives are hidden with Christ, and where is he? Seated at the right hand of the Father. There is no safer place to be than in the presence of God. Jesus gives us a wonderful promise in John chapter 10. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. When your life is hidden with Jesus Christ, no one can snatch you out of his hand. No one can take you out of the Father's hand. Jesus and the Father are one, and they both hold you firm and secure in their hands. As Paul writes in Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are hidden in Christ, in the present, now, here, today, you are safe and you are secure in him. And thirdly, Paul gives us a reason to set our hearts and minds on things above based on future promises. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You died with him in the past, your life is now hidden with him in the present, and in future you will appear with him in glory. Paul wrote in verse 3 that your life is hidden in Christ, and now he says that Christ is your life. He is the source of your life. He is the goal of your life, and he is the very reason for your existence. John 14, verse 6, we all know it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 19, he says, because I live, you also will live. As a Christian, Jesus is not only the most important thing or person in your life, he is your life. So we need to consider the question, what is most important to you? Paul gives his answer in Philippians 1:21. To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you're a Christian, Jesus is your life. And because he is your life, he's also your hope. And that's what Paul meant when he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. That is the hope and the destiny of every believer. Somebody once said that just as every eye will see Jesus when he returns, so every eye will see you with him. What was once hidden will now be revealed. Those who laugh at you, those who mock you for being a Christian, will see the reality of your faith at last. Your faith will be vindicated before the whole world. As Christians, we face persecution, we face derision, hatred, and we face ridicule for our faith. But don't worry about being on the wrong side of the world. Worry about being on the wrong side of eternity. 1 John 3 verse 20 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 2 Thessalonians 12 verse 10 talks about the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people. That's an incredible promise. Just listen to it again. The day he comes to be glorified in his holy people. At the end of this life, as you step into eternity, God will glorify you with Christ. When Jesus is revealed in glory, you will be revealed along with him. Your life is totally bound up with him. Whatever is happening in your life today, whatever challenges tomorrow brings, always remember that through your faith in Jesus, you are united to him. What happens to him happens to you. Christ died, you died with him. Christ rose again, you are raised with him. Christ will appear in glory and you will appear in glory with him. Not for our benefit, but for his glory. You are united to Jesus, not only in his death, his burial and his resurrection, but also in his ascension and his promised return. That first reading again we had from John, 1 John 3 this morning. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. As Christians, we are called to live the Christ-centered life, and that means putting him at the center rather than the things of this world. So don't look forwards. Don't look backwards. Don't look around. Don't look down. Look up. As a Christian, you have a new direction in life. So set your heart on things above. You have a new focus. So set your mind on things above. You have a new authority. You've been raised with Christ who is seated at the right hand of God. You have a new destiny and you have a new hope. And when Jesus appears, you will appear with him. What an amazing promise that is. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that far too often we become so wrapped up in worldly things that we take our minds and our focus off of you, and our hearts are set on the things of this world rather than the things of eternity. And we pray, Lord, that you would remind us that you died for us and we died with you. And in so doing, you have changed our lives completely. You have given us a whole new purpose and a whole new hope. Help us, Lord, to live our lives with our minds and our hearts on heaven and the promises of eternity which await each one of us. And in so doing, Lord, inspire us to share this message of hope with those around us, particularly those that we love, the lost, the dying, those who have yet to bow the knee and to confess with their own mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We ask these things in your holy and precious name, Lord. Amen.